Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
We're going to start a new sermon series today. And the sermon series is called Coming to Grips with the Authority of Jesus. Coming to Grips with the Authority of Jesus. One of my favorite artists from the 1980s is John Cougar Mellencamp. Any John Cougar Mellencamp fans? Come on. He's one of my favorites. He was Dr. Cool when I was in junior high or a freshman, sophomore in high school. I am dating myself, Kat. I still love his music. Whenever JCM comes on, I'm all about it on the radio. Midwest rock star, down to earth, friend of the farmer, you know, friend of the common man. He was not a real flashy, you know, rock and roll star. Still is to this day. From Indiana. Y'all know he's from Indiana. He's just from across the border. And I always thought that John Cougar Mellencamp had that cool factor because he kind of was a rebel with a cause. Rebel with a cause. And I don't know, he just is kind of a hallmark of my teenage years, I guess. One of my favorite songs that he put out in the 80s was the Authority song. Do y'all remember the Authority song? Some of you probably don't, but if you need a reminder and you go out to the Maplewood Naz group page, I actually posted it out there this morning because it's a great, number one, it's a great song. Number two, it's a great video back from the MTV days, right? I love that song and it comes to mind every time. And as I was recovering from surgery last summer, I heard this song on the radio as I was just laying in bed and it inspired this sermon series. And the lyrics to the chorus of the song go, I fight authority, authority always wins. I fight authority, authority always wins. I've been doing it since I was a young kid and I come out grinning. But I fight authority and authority always wins. And John Cougar Mellencamp was not a theologian, but he's right. With the lyrics of that song, because what I want us to see over the next several weeks as we approach Easter is that the authority of Jesus always wins. The authority of Jesus always wins. And today we're going to begin this intensive study on the authority of another JC, not John Cougar, but Jesus Christ. Okay? Authority is a big word, and I think it's an even bigger concept, but when we boil it all down, authority is all about answering the question, who or what is your master? I want you to think about that this morning as we're talking about this. Who or what is your master? Who or what do you say yes to in your life by default? Because whatever you say yes to by default in your life is your master. That is the master. That is the authority in your life. The reality is, in all of our lives, it all boils down to that which we obey. That which you say yes to every day. Okay? That which you say yes to and that which you say no to. In this big world of ours, I think there's essentially three camps when it comes to authority. There's those who ignore authority, try to pretend it doesn't exist. And many of you try to ignore authority, and you're probably the ones with points on your driver's license. Driving through Harmony on Route 40. Can I get an amen? There are those who obey authority, right? Accept it and are obedient and do 35 through Harmony. Because watch it, the dude out there, he's trained in radar. He's told me. Personally, he's told me, he showed me his pen. Authority, right? And so there are those who ignore it, there are those who obey it, and then there are those who outright reject authority. John Cougar Mellencamp, rebel, right? They reject authority. When I was a kid, I liked to play dress up. You know, I liked to dress up like an astronaut or a stormtrooper or Luke Skywalker or a cowboy or a soldier. And in my mind, I looked the part, but I lacked the authority. I thought I looked like Luke Skywalker, but I could not pick that rock up with the force. Every time I tried and set my hand out there, that rock just laid there on the ground. Oh, yeah. As Yoda said, there is no try, there is only do. I lacked the authority to be a Luke Skywalker, right? I lacked the authority. I lacked the authority to be the police officer. When I dressed up in my police officer suit or my firefighter helmet, when I put that on. But the enemy of our souls, I want you to know this morning, likes to dress himself up as if he's an authority. He likes to dress himself up as if he has authority to mislead us and to misguide us in our lives. And to then think that the authority that he's promising actually supersedes the authority of Jesus Christ, which it can't nor will it never do. So the enemy's always dressing up, looking at different types of authority that might supersede Jesus, but he can't. He tries to deceive us into following his authority. He wants us to fight the authority of Jesus, knowing that in the end, Jesus will win. Jesus is going to win. And the enemy and his followers, those who follow the authority, those who say yes to the enemy of our souls, are going to lose. They may be ignoring the authority of Jesus. I don't want to hear about it. They put their fingers in their ears and they go, mum, 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 mum. They ignore the authority of Jesus or reject it outright. But folks, I want us to realize, and the reason I want to talk about this over the next couple of weeks as we approach Easter, if we're to realize our full potential, if you as a human being are to realize your full potential, to realize your purpose in this world, if you were to realize your full potential, if your purpose is to become Christ-like, did you know that? God's purpose for each and every one of us is to become like Jesus. If we're to reach our full potential, become like Christ, if we're going to go deeper with Jesus than we ever have before in our lives, we have to recognize and submit our will to the authority of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. We have to bow before him. We sang this morning, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Well, if he is almighty, he deserves our reverence. He deserves our submission. He deserves our loyalty. If we truly sing that song with hands raised, is he really the authority in our lives? We must come to grips with the authority of Jesus. All creation is going to have to come to grips with the authority of Jesus. You may ignore it. You may reject it. You may accept it. But the scriptures tell us that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. There will come a day when we have to acknowledge whether or not Jesus is the authority in our lives or not. And there ain't going to be no fool in him. We might think we can fool everybody else, dress up nice and play the part, but God knows what's going on deep in our hearts. And some of us put up a pretty good show. I know, I was the master of showmanship for many years in my life. So I can speak to you as an expert show man when it comes to living this life as a Christian. Over the next couple of weeks, I want us to see that we have to come to grips with the authority of Jesus and not some dressed up, spoiled kid who's trying to trip us up and trick us into eternity without our master. The devil wants to trick us and think us that there's some other authority that we should follow. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to encourage you to be reading in Luke chapter 8 and Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 9, two chapters. You know, one of the best ways to study the Bible is to just pick a couple of chapters and read them over and over and just become familiar with the texture and the story and what's going on there. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to be spending time in Luke chapter 8 and Luke chapter 9. And as a church, I would love for you to devote some time just reading Luke chapter 8 and Luke chapter 9. Mulling it over, allowing, but pray when you read Luke chapter 8 and Luke chapter 9 that God would talk to you about his authority and challenge you about his authority in your own life. Today, Luke chapter 8 verse 1 is where we're going to start. It says in Luke chapter 8 verse 1, Jesus traveled about from town to town and a village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 disciples were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Wow. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. We don't hear a lot about these. We hear a lot about Mary Magdalene, but we don't hear a lot about Joanna or Susanna. But there were people in the background of this story of Jesus that were supporting his ministry. And while a large crowd in verse 4 was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some of the seed fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He or she who has ears, let him or her hear." Let them understand what he's trying to say. As Luke chapter 8 opens up, the ministry of Jesus is growing. I mean, there's momentum. There's growing. The ministry and influence of Jesus is spreading across the countryside, and people are coming from towns all around. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have the interwebs. They didn't have television or radio to advertise about it. But by word of mouth, people was getting out about this rabbi who could heal and who spoke with authority. When authority is present, people pay attention. And people were paying attention to the ministry of Jesus. These days we measure authority and influence by who's following you on social media, don't we? We measure our influence by how many followers we have. Or how many followers the Kardashians have, right? Or how many followers Taylor Swift has on Instagram. We measure influence and authority by who and how many are on our friends list. And if you step back and you kind of look at this passage, Jesus had a pretty cool Instagram following. You know, he had a pretty cool Insta list of friends. He literally... And this is pretty impressive. He literally had an indirect connection with the king. He was friends of a friend of the king. You know, we talk about Kevin Bacon's 6 degrees of separation, right? Well, Jesus was 2 degrees away from a straight up personal relationship with the king. Just 2 relationships removed. He literally knew someone whose husband worked for King Herod. Was the guy who ran the household. It's probably like the chief concierge at the palace or something like that. His social network was diverse. He had people in his Instagram following of all walks. There were rich people. There were poor people. There were poor men. There were poor women. There were rich women. Religious leaders of all the local synagogues. When Jesus showed up in a town, he went to the synagogue. He hung out at a place of worship just like this. He taught to small groups just like this. This is what his itinerant ministry was. He'd go from different Maplewoods from week to week, and he'd teach. And as he did, the leader of that temple would follow him on Instagram, friends on Facebook. And so Jesus has synagogue leaders, and he has leaders at the temple in Jerusalem, because he would also go to the temple, right? There are many times when we read about Jesus at the temple in Jerusalem. Big time, Chuck. He's in the big time when he's in Jerusalem, the big spotlight. It's like going to Hollywood, and he's meeting with all the stars of the Jewish community. I'm sure they were on his friends list too. Had all sorts of people following him. The kingdom of heaven is coming into the world through these people who are following Jesus. Think about that. We read about this list of people in the first couple of verses of Luke chapter 8. The kingdom of heaven is coming into the world through them and through their witness and through their influence. That's how the kingdom works. I want you to see that the kingdom is coming through them, but it is the authority of Jesus that is fueling it all. They're following Jesus, but it's his authority that's fueling the coming of the kingdom. It's not who is following that is giving Jesus authority. Just because it's not who, I want you to see this morning. It's not who is following him that gives him his authority. A lot of times we define our worth, we define our value by who is following us, who we're connected with, who's in our social circles, and we believe that that somehow legitimizes us or gives us authority in our lives. By the way, that's a lie from the devil. It's not who is following Jesus that is giving Jesus authority. They are following because of the authority of Jesus. People are coming to him. They are attracted to authority. They are attracted to his influence. And I just want to ask you this morning, church, who are you following? Who's the real authority in your life? What authority holds sway over your heart? The other thing I want us to take note of this morning, the good news of the kingdom of heaven is predicated and legitimized by the authority of Jesus. The good news, the salvation story, the good news of the salvation that Jesus brings is predicated by the authority of Jesus. Word predicated, big word, sorry. Let me simplify here for just a minute. The good news of Jesus is based on the authority of Jesus. The good news of the kingdom, the good news of salvation is based on the authority of Christ. Even the good news of the gospel isn't sufficient on its own. The information of the gospel is not sufficient on its own. You can know what to do to be saved. But until you allow the authority of Jesus to actually control your heart, until you actually take that step of submission to Christ, you can't be saved. You can know how to be saved, but you can't be saved until you give Jesus permission to have authority and sway over your heart. I know all about how to change the inside of a toilet, but I'm not really a master of it. I have to find help. Or I have to call somebody like Dexter up and say, dude, I got a mess on my hands. It's one thing to have knowledge. It's another thing to give that knowledge authority to become real in your own life, to believe. Knowing how to be saved is not going to save you. Amen. You have to accept what Jesus does for us personally. A kingdom is nothing if it has no authority to back it, right? Kingdom is nothing if it has no authority to back it. Every so-called kingdom has laws and ordinances and regulations and rules and guidelines, creates order, makes sure none of us get killed on the road, creates culture. Without those guidelines in place, we are left to chaos. If we don't have those laws and those rules from the authority in charge, we have chaos. We sometimes chafe at what we perceive to be onerous rules and regulations. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tread on me. But send your tax dollars to my district so we can build that road, right? We don't like to pay taxes, but we love it when somebody else's tax dollars come and fund what we need. Many of these guidelines contribute to our quality of life, and it does so in ways we take for granted. They create a common understanding for how we live together, how we are productive together. Authority, the underlying authority. The authority of the kingdom of heaven is no different. Rules and regulations are useless if there's no authority to enforce them. The speed limit in Harmony is enforced. Right? It's enforced. There's an authority behind it. You go, you're going to get a ticket. You're going to go to court if you speed through there most of the time. Authority of the law, the possibility of being fined or even jailed, incarcerated, because we break the rules is what truly provides order, productivity, and peace. If there's no underlying authority, the law is useless. And again, I ask you, what is the underlying authority that rules your life? What is the master of your heart? Who is the master of your heart? What do you find yourself saying yes to? In this passage in Luke, Jesus understands and underscores the reality that every person has to respond to his authority. And he tells this parable. He talks about the farmer who goes out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on. The birds ate it up. Some fell on rock. And when it came up, the plants withered because they didn't have any water. Other seeds fell in the thorns, and they were choked out by the thorns. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and it yielded a crop. Jesus describes three ways all of humanity will react to his authority. For some folks, tragically, the authority of Jesus will be ignored. They'll just simply ignore his authority. And these folks will wither away, spiritually speaking, and at the end of the day, die. When we can ignore the authority of Jesus today, but like I said earlier, there is coming a day of reckoning. All of us are marching towards a day when we will have to answer the question, is Jesus the authority or not? And at some point in time, it's going to be too late to be able to claim him as the authority of our hearts. We can kick the Jesus can down the road, but sooner or later, we will have to come face to face with his authority. And a choice will be required of each and every one of us. He even said to some of his disciples, you know, the end's going to come and judgment day is going to come and you're going to come up to me and say, Lord, Lord, and pretend like I am the authority in your life, but I'm going to tell you, get away from me because I do not know you. Because you've been telling yourself a lie all this time. You've been claiming I'm the authority, but in reality, you've been ignoring my authority and doing what you wanted to do, living selfishly, living self-centeredly, creating all sorts of damage in your circle of influence and tearing down my kingdom. So don't tell me you want to call me Lord, Lord today. Because you're not only lying to yourself, you're lying to me. That's what's going to happen to people who kick the can down the road. For a second group, they're just going to outright reject the authority of Jesus and be consumed with the weaker authority of this world. They are going to be choked to death. Folks, when we reject Jesus, and there are people out there who simply reject the way of Jesus, how can anybody reject the way of love? I don't understand it. I think that the enemy of our souls so clouds our minds. We all want to be loved. We all want to be accepted. We all want to have peace and purpose and reconciliation with relationships around us. We all crave and we all desire to be redeemed. But the enemy of our hearts is so deceptive that he thinks that's not what we want. He thinks what we want is to be able to go to FanDuel.com and make that bet, and that next bet will make me happy. He says, hey, if you'll just buy that lottery ticket with that raise you got, that'll make you happy. If you go over here on this website to porn.com and watch that, you're going to find satisfaction in that, and that'll make you happy. If you go out and you play sports and ignore your family and do whatever you want to do, that'll make you happy. The enemy plays with our minds. He even says, hey, I'm going to give you, you know, I'm going to take even your good job that the Lord has given you, helps you pay your bills, be a responsible person to support your money, and I'm going to make that job your God. And we don't realize we're just outright rejecting Jesus, the authority of Jesus, and we're allowing the job or that website or that app or that sport or that habit or that hobby to become our God. We don't realize that we have been fooled into rejecting the authority of Jesus in our hearts. And how tragic will it be when we wake up someday face to face with Jesus on the judgment stand and realize that we'd been saying yes to something else all along, and it's too late to do anything about it. Sooner or later, you're going to have to come to grips with the authority of Jesus. We can ignore it. We can reject it outright, intentionally or unintentionally, knowingly or unknowingly. But then there's this third group of people that Jesus talks about where he says his authority will take root and will thrive. It'll take root and thrive. These people choose to make Jesus the authority in their life intentionally. I'm just a real big believer, friends, that nothing happens in our lives without intentionality. If we think we can kind of float into a relationship with Jesus and grow deeper with him by just kind of getting on the raft and getting in the lazy river and floating down the river of life, we're going to drown. Okay? We're allowing another authority to take control of our lives. But when we intentionally, on purpose, habitually, day after day, allow Jesus to be the authority in our lives, something mystical and miraculous begins to happen deep down within inside us. As we say yes to Jesus, as we obey him, we allow the Holy Spirit to begin working deep inside of us and begin to transform us from the inside out, from that old self of who I was into a new creation that looks like Jesus, acts like Jesus, speaks like Jesus, has a heart like Jesus. And our obedience and loyalty to the authority of Christ leads to an even larger harvest of people. That's what I love about what he says. For those who, where the seed grows, it doesn't just grow up and be a plant. It leads to a much bigger harvest than itself. You see, because when we, as individuals, intentionally decide to allow Jesus to be the authority in our lives, that's when we allow the power of the Holy Spirit to actually come into us and start changing us and influencing our words and our actions and our deeds, giving us the power to live what we say and to draw people in. To draw people in. What's different about that person? They start asking questions. Can't be real. Yeah, it is. The love of Jesus, the authority of Christ in our lives. How shall we respond to the authority of the kingdom of heaven? How are you responding to the authority of Jesus Christ in your life today? It's a little bit of homework I want you to do over the next couple of weeks. I want you to take some time reflecting on what do you say yes to? And how often do you say yes to something else other than Jesus? You see, we've got to intentionally start examining our lives and allowing the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts to really answer, to be able to answer the question, who's the master of my heart? Who really has authority in my life? How are you responding to the authority of Christ? Shall we fight it? Like John Cougar Mellencamp? Been doing it since a young man, and I come out grinning. But I fight authority, authority always wins. I need a guitar. Shall we fight it, resist it, or shall we embrace the authority of the kingdom of heaven in our lives? My prayer is that as we approach Easter this year, as we journey through the Lenten season, that we will all experience a new spiritual awakening as individuals and as a faith family here at Maplewood. And it all boils down to who's your master? Who's your master? Who do you say yes to? My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes physically and spiritually. Will open our eyes and help us to realize that maybe we've been building our lives on a false authority. false hope. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to the reality that the false authority maybe that we've been building upon in our lives is actually incapable of delivering the joy and the peace and the purpose and the satisfaction that only Jesus can deliver in each and every one of our hearts. My prayer is that we would realize that it's time to stop fighting the authority of Christ in our lives. It's time to stop resisting the authority of Christ in our hearts. Why? Because the authority of Jesus always wins.
Amen.
It always wins. It will always win. It's time to embrace the authority of Jesus. It's time for Maplewood as a family to embrace that authority in a fresh and a new way. I don't care how long you've been walking with Christ. I hope this Lenten season is a season where you can renew that submission to His authority and allow Him to reignite your passion for His kingdom. Because it is the number one priority in your heart. Because what happens in you doesn't just affect you, it affects everybody else. Right? It affects everybody else. It's time, church, for us to come to grips with the authority of Jesus and to go deeper with Him than we ever have before.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.